Assalamu alaikum. Recording now. We're going to, inshallah, tell you the story. So which story today?
Ayub.
So we're going to listen, right?
Right. I can do two things at once.
Now, Prophet Ayub, what happened to him? Prophet Ayub first, when he was young, Allah gave him everything you can imagine. You imagine it, Allah gave it to him. Wealth, he had wealth. Money, has money.
One Direction?
Huh? Handsome.
One Direction.
He's handsome.
You want
handsome? No, he was a handsome, good looking. And everybody was used to say, wow. Wow, this guy has everything. And his wife was super duper beautiful. She was very beautiful. Yes, and she has
like Eleanor,
like all the sisters in the class, okay. And she has her hair, she has long hair, okay. And her long hair was like silky hair, and it used to go all the way down here. Silky, yeah, silk kind of hair, like it's very soft, like silk. Like what?
And then she's a girl inside my heart.
Yes. And the hair was all the way down here. And then, you know, and he was very thankful to Allah. And he would thank Allah really, really, really good. Like he would go beyond what you imagine to thank Allah. So he's very thankful to Allah. And then Allah wanted to make him an example of patience to every human being who's going to live. Allah wanted to make him an example of what?
Patience.
So Allah did. So what did Allah do to him? Allah made him suddenly, within a very short period of time, his children died. All his children died. And he had to bury them one by one. And then his castle and his his home and his farm ranch.
He forgot to pay it off, and then he didn't.
No, all the cattle in there, cows, sheep, whatever, horses died. They all died. And then he got infected with the disease. One of the diseases that he got infected with was a skin disease. Skin disease that makes you look like have patches or something. Like what do you call it?
The white patches.
Oh yeah, I have those on.
Yeah. No, he was really, his skin was really, really, really terribly ill. Like red, blue. I mean, it was just like, looks extremely... No. Spots. He has a lot of spots. It is the kind of disease that people hate. And it's very contagious. And it's very what?
Contagious.
Just relax and enjoy the class. I'm not going to test you. Okay? All right?
Mm-hmm.
Hania.
Yeah, I was
there. Yeah. So, now... When he was like that, he had to move out into a cage, like a cage built of trash. And then he had to move out there. Before, he used to have how many friends? A lot of friends. Now his friends, no, just one wife. His friends walk away from him. Why did his friends walk away from him?
Because he's ugly.
Hmm? Because he was ugly and like...
Yes. Yeah. Just relax and enjoy the story. I'm not going to test you. Okay.
I'm not testing.
You don't trust it.
The one? Hold on.
Yeah, this is the first time.
Wait. Listen.
The ones who memorize, they can come. The one who don't memorize, just relax and enjoy the story. Okay. So now.
We'll be served as extra credit.
Yes, extra credit.
Mashallah.
Bonus. Okay? Now, listen here. So now, everybody doesn't want to come near him. He has spots, like with germs and nasty spots in his skin. Everybody says he's contagious. You want to see Ayub? Are you going to Ayub? No, I'm not. Why? He's contagious. He's what? Contagious. So you can't go to him. You can't visit him. Or don't go to him. Don't visit him because he's contagious. Yeah, contagious. If you go there, you pick up his diseases. So now all his people walked away from him. And he became deserted, alone. The only one that stood by him, his wife. Aww. His beautiful, gorgeous wife.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
She was, yeah.
Why are you guys happy?
She had silky hair, as I told you, all the way down here. And she was extremely beautiful. Now, she really started working for other people, serving in their homes, washing their dishes, cleaning their clothes, doing their laundry, whatever they do, cleaning their homes, cleaning their bathrooms.
Became a maid, basically.
Exactly. So just to get money. And this money will barely feed her and feed her husband, Ayub. And she worked hard. Okay. Now, Ayub used to tell her, Ayub used to be fond of her hair. He loved her hair so much that it was very dear to him. And he said, this is the only thing left for me. Okay? So now he, you know, you just don't touch his hair, his wife's hair. Okay? Or you get in trouble. You know, or like he told his wife several times, don't you dare to sell your hair. If anybody tries to, I'd rather starve to death and you don't sell your hair. So now, how long Prophet Ayub stayed like that? Some narrations say, some books of tafsir say is 18 years. Other books of tafsir say is 40 years. So between 18 and 40. From 18 to 40 years. Okay? So he stayed like that for a very long time, and she was working to feed him. And it was very, very hard to struggle. Then, after the 18 years or after the 40 years, his wife, nobody wants to employ her anymore because they were like afraid that she's going to bring diseases from Ayub. So now she's very poor and she doesn't have any source of income. She doesn't have anything to feed Ayub with and to feed herself. And there was this rich, very rich lady in town. And she's very rich, but
she...
Yes.
Yes. Have you been tested on it?
Optional. It's optional, okay?
Did the ones who do it?
It's optional. The ones who wants to do it, they get extra credit.
It's the one time I'm right. You
can
still do it.
You can get grades for it. Okay.
Anyone want to be tested?
Yes.
Come on,
outside. So now there was this nasty, like rich lady. She didn't have hair, good hair. So her hair was very short. And her hair was awfully bad. It looked like, you know, the spot, like the
skull.
What is it that you used to?
Scarvers.
Yes. Yeah, her hair looked like scarvers.
Like sponge?
No, then scarvers. Steel. No, the one made of plastic.
The scrubber.
Or the scrubber, yeah, exactly. And she was really dying for good hair. And she has all the money that you can imagine. So every time she sees Ayub's wife, she tells her, hey, give you a lot of money. Just, I want to buy your hair.
That's so crazy.
She wanted to buy her hair, so she would connect every single piece of her hair with one from,
Is that even possible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just takes a long time. Let's say it takes a week or something. But here we go. She enjoys that hair forever. And it was really, really nice hair. So she would every time talk to her, well, your hair is so nice. Huh? I'll give you money, good money for it. She says, no. She says, suit yourself. Then the next time, okay, let's count the money. $1, $2, $3, $4. The one who sells, going to sell her hair to me, She's going to get 100 pieces of gold. She said no. Why is she saying no? Not because she loves her hair, but because? Because Ayub told her not to. So now Ayub is patient. Now every time, you know he's a prophet. If he asks Allah, Allah is going to give him. Allah is going to give him what he wants. So now Ayub doesn't want to pray to Allah. Every time they tell him, why don't you ask Allah to give you back your health and wealth and children? He says, I'm so ashamed of myself that Allah gave me so much wealth before. And then when he decided to take it away from me, I feel very ashamed if I ask him to bring it back to me. Because I will appear to be a person who doesn't have patience. I want to be patient, okay, to show Allah that when I was rich, I was thankful. When I was poor, I was patient. Yeah, so he wanted to do it both ways. He did it very well when he was rich, thanking Allah. Now he wants to do it very well when he's poor and show patience. So they tell him, ask Allah. He says, no, I'd rather be patient. I shy away from asking Allah and show that I'm not patient. He does not want to show. He's shying away from showing Allah that he's not patient. So he doesn't want to ask Allah. And then there was that one day when his wife, that's it. You know, they were starving. There was nothing, no job, no works, nothing. So his wife, to save them, she went to that lady and she said, okay, you said how many pieces of gold if you buy my hair? So she said, blah, blah, pieces. So she said, yeah, I'll sell it for you. So she said, okay, before she changes her mind, she cuts her hair quickly. And then she gave her the money. She went to the market, and then she came back, and she was like trying to hide it from Ayub. But Ayub, smart, he noticed it. He got so mad. You know, you can't believe how mad he got. And then he started, you know, feeling that he should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief. You know, he never asked Allah for relief before. He said, I'm shy to ask him. I want to show him that I'm patient. Because I was thankful and I want to show him that I'm patient. So he prayed to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay. He was laying down. So Allah said, knock on the ground using your feet. So he knocked on his ground using his feet. The ground broke into a spring of water. Spring of water was like, ooh, splashing up. And Allah said, take a bath. So he took a bath and he washed all his body. While he was washing his body with this blessed water from Allah, his skin was healing. His skin was healing. Okay, and by the end of the bath, I don't know how long this bath took, probably, I don't know, maybe 2-3 hours or whatever. During this time, his skin was healing, and when your face is, there's the face that looks tired and pale. What's the opposite of pale?
Happy, merry.
Pale skin?
Pale skin. Yes.
Bright.
Yeah, anyway, and he looked glowing skin. And he looked back very, very, very good looking and handsome like he was before. And then his wife coming so tired and then bringing me the food. And then she said, where is my husband, Ayub? I left him here. She didn't recognize him. So he said, I am Ayub. She said, huh? You are Ayub? How come? He said, Allah sent me the relief. I asked Allah for a relief, and Allah sent me the relief immediately. He said, Rabbi inni massani ash-shaytanu binusubin wa adab. And also he said, Rabbi inni massani ad-durr wa anta arhamur rahim.
You forgot to pray about the 1,000 sticks.
The what?
1,000 sticks.
Yeah, it's coming. Now, yeah, I actually, before he heals and cures, when he saw his wife, with the short hair, you know, she sold her hair. He got so mad at her. He said, okay, when I get my health back, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to hit you 100 lashes. So that you are punished for not listening to me. He was so mad at it. So as a punishment, he would give her 100 lashes. So now he recovers. And then she said, where's my husband, Ayub? He said, I am Ayub. He said, oh, alhamdulillah. Then he said, now is the time to punish you for selling your hair. So Allah knows that she's patient. She was patient. She doesn't deserve that. And also Allah has had plans to make her grow a better hair, even better than the one she sold. So Allah told Ayub, don't hit her 100 lashes. Instead, because he said, I swear by Allah, I will hit you 100 lashes. Okay? So if he doesn't, then he did not fulfill his oath to Allah. Like, I swear by Allah, I will do this. And if he does it, it's going to be not fair for his wife. She was so patient as well. So Allah said, take from the palm trees a branch that has 100 sticks in it. Branch that has had 100 sticks in it. You got it? You know these branches from the palm trees? And then hit her once. And this becomes 100 lashes. And this way, you get out your oath, okay, without hurting your wife. So that was another gift from Allah. Allah relieved him from his oath in such a way, such a nice way. Now he is back healthy. Allah, his wife gave birth to double the number of children. So if he had 10, now he has
20.
And then the farm and the cattle he has. And instead of having one farm, one ranch, he now has 2 ranches. And instead of looking handsome, he now looks what? Twice handsome. As handsome as before. And the story, the lesson to learn from this is what?
Patience.
Now, when you're patient, do you need to see the patience, the results in this life?
No.
Remember, whatever gifts you get in this life for being good, this is not the reward from Allah. This is what? Just called encouragement. So let's say you did a good deed and Allah gave you a wish. You are wishing for something. You do a good deed, Allah gave you that thing that you wished for. Okay? Then Allah gives you, is that your reward? Is that your reward?
No.
Where is your reward?
In Jannah.
So then what do you call the gift that you got in this life for doing something good? You call it what?
Encouragement.
Now if you do something bad and you get, Allah punishes you for it. Is this the punishment?
Like if you see only good.
No.
For example.
No, that's
yes.
No.
That's a discouragement. Allah is discouraging you from doing more evil things. But where is the punishment?
In the life to come.
Now, let me tell you another story about Zubair ibn al-Awwam. You know who is Zubair ibn al-Awwam?
No.
Okay. Zubair ibn... Zubair ibn al-Awwam was a very rich, you know, kind of pampered guy. Like, he was very rich in Mecca. And to the level that he would wear nothing but silk clothes. And as you know, in Mecca, the rich people would wear silk clothes all the way to be dragging what?
Behind them.
As a sign of show off. So, you know, like the wedding example, exactly like the wedding. It's just like a sign of showing off. They drag behind them a dress that is made of silk, like that. And they walk like this. I'm not kidding. That's how he, they used to make themselves like gods on earth. The Arab lords were disgusting.
Okay.
So now, Zubair, his entire dress was made of silk. Just imagine, you can't afford today, you can't afford his dress that he was wearing. Silk, if you have a silk dress today, it will cost you a lot of money. I mean, I can imagine like thousands of dollars. Pure silk. So you today can't afford the silk dress that he used to wear in the past. And he had too many of them, and he would drag them behind him on the ground, on the mud. He doesn't care. And he's surrounded by slaves, men slaves, women slaves, just to make him comfortable and to bring him anything he wants. So he was really like you call like spoiled boy, pampered boy. No, he was not a brat. He was. There is one thing different in him than all other Arab lords, that he had. He was very wise. They were ignorant, empty-headed. Hello, nobody's here. Okay, except him. He was wise, and he used to.
Is this around the time of the Prophet?
Yes, he was one of the companions. He was very, very wise. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to become a prophet. And then he started to, in Mecca, hey, people started talking. Did you hear what happened to Muhammad, the son of Abdullah al-Hashimi? What about the family name of the Prophet is what? Al-Hashimi. What's the family name of the Prophet?
Al-Hashimi.
Al-Hashimi. Coming from Hashim. His great grandfather who founded the clan, his name is Hashim. And his children were called Bani Hashim or Al-Hashimi. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib Al-Hashimi. Al-what?
Al-Hashimi.
So now, he who heard the rumors that people are saying, did you see what Muhammad, the son of Hashim, are saying? What? He's saying that he's a prophet. Ha, ha, ha. Messenger? From God? Yeah. He says that God sent him with a message to us. Ha, ha. He must be out of his mind. And then he walks in and he finds another group of people gossiping. Hey. Muhammad is saying the angels came down to him and told him to read. Angels, ha, ha. Muhammad. How many wings the angels have? Ha, 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 ha. Muhammad. And, oh man, the Prophet took a lot of crap from those guys. Muhammad! You know, every time they see him. Maybe 20 wings. 30 wings? Read! Muhammad, why don't you read? Ha, ha, ha. Look here, read this. Ha, ha, ha. They knew Prophet Muhammad doesn't read. Doesn't know how to read. Allah, the reason Allah made him doesn't read, because his knowledge is a divine knowledge. You earn this divine knowledge by revelation. Earthly knowledge, you learn earthly knowledge by what? By reading. So now, he's hearing people talking. And then, he got very, very interested. And he kept listening to the stories, and the stories were really, very, very interesting to him. And then he said to himself, okay, let me wait a little bit and find out more about this guy. Then he heard, ha, 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 you know what's the news? Yeah, Muhammad is getting more revelations from the angel. The angels comes from heaven and he tells him what God wants. And then they started getting angry. Muhammad is calling our gods that they are nothing. Muhammad, they are saying he's insulting our gods. He's saying that they are fake. And he thinks that we're stupid. He's telling us that we're stupid. Worshipping these gods?
I doubt the Prophet would say stupid.
Huh?
I
No, he's saying, the prophet is not saying stupid. The prophet is saying these are false gods, you're deceived. So they are saying, it means what? It means that we're stupid? You know, they are mad at him. He doesn't say you're stupid, but they made it that way. And then, so after a while, using his wisdom, he was able to figure out that, you know, Muhammad is right. Why was he able to find that Muhammad is right? It's because he was himself not comfortable with these idols. He was like feeling, hello, these idols can't really be the God that we, that he created us, that he did this or that. And also he wasn't comfortable that these are the middle guys. He said, how could they be a middle guys that talk to God on our behalf? Okay? And they are just like that. So he started getting interested. Okay. So he decided that, after getting interested, he decided to go to Muhammad and ask him what is going on. So he went to Muhammad, and then he knocked on the door where Muhammad used to stay with his companions. You know the house that Muhammad used to stay with his companions with? If you go to Mecca, you find that they made a library. They made it a library. You know that?
No.
So if you go make Hajj, you ask for Mecca library. This is the headquarter the Prophet used to meet his companions. They made it a library. It's called Dar al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam. The house of al-Arqam. It's called the house of what?
Have Islamic books?
Yes. The reason they made it into a library, because they didn't want people to make it the second Kaaba. Like, you know how people are so obsessed, they go there and they make it the second Kaaba. So they wanted to make sure that nobody's going to do it, to treat it this way. At the same time, they didn't want to demolish it, because it's a nice thing to keep around. So they made a library in it. That was a very smart idea. Anyway, here is Prophet. He went to meet the Prophet into Al-Arqam house. So Prophet used to meet his companions in what? Huh?
Al-Arqam house.
Al-Arqam house. And then he knocked on the door. And they opened to him. Come, come, Mus'ab, come. You're welcome. So he went to the Prophet and he said, what is that story? What's your message? What is it that you want us to do? What is it that you want us to believe in? So the Prophet started saying, reciting this and that, this and that. He started reciting everything he wants Mus'ab to believe in. He started reciting those. And Mus'ab started, the words fell right into the heart of Mus'ab. So Mus'ab said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Now, he wouldn't be afraid of showing that he's a Muslim except his mother. His mother was really a tough woman. Really, really tough. And she was, you know, like tougher than any Arab lord. And she was so strict. And she hated Prophet Muhammad and she hated Islam so much. So he was so scared that she would find out that he's a Muslim. So now he started to pray. But when he prays, where does he pray? In very quiet, secret places. So that his mother doesn't see him. To his bad luck, one time when he was hiding and praying, okay, Uthman ibn Mal'un, a guy in Mecca, saw him praying. So he said, oh my God, Muhammad abandoned our religion. Oh my God, Muhammad abandoned our religion. And he ran. He to who? The mother. I'm sorry. Mus'ab abandoned our religion. Mus'ab abandoned our religion. He is caught now. So he went to the mother of Mus'ab and told her what? You know, your son Mus'ab, what happened to him? She said, what happened? He said, he followed Muhammad. Oh, he followed Muhammad? Yes. Yeah, she was like very bad. And she's like, oh, one of those women that you don't want to be around. So So now she bring her boy, Mus'ab. Mus'ab, are you out of your mind? You abandoned our religion and followed that idiot? He's not an idiot. He's a prophet of Allah. What? Prophet of what? Excuse me? Are you kidding me here? Am I stupid? What prophet of Allah? Get back to your senses and come back to our religion. Worship the gods that our fathers worship. He's saying that our fathers are going to hell? Huh? He's saying that our fathers were wrong? Huh? And he's the smart boy that knows the right from the wrong? Huh? Boom. He said no. So now she prepared another, trial for him, or another attempt to make him quit Islam. What was it? She brought all the elites and thinkers of Mecca. All the elites and the what?
Thinkers of Mecca.
And she brought them into like a room, into a meeting room. And then she told them, debate with him. You know what is it like when you debate with 20 people? You know what is it like when you're debating with 20 people? And those 20 people are the one among the smartest and the elites of Mecca. It's difficult. It is difficult. I mean, if you take debate classes, if you do a Superman debate, it means you debate against two. Okay? And it is... Hold on. And he debates... Hello, just listen. And he debates with them. He started debating with them. And everyone who says an argument, he will debate and make a counter argument that is smarter than this. Make a counter argument that is smarter than whatever argument the other person said. So now what do we have? He debated with all of them and he won the debate. So his mother said, are you going to come back to your senses and quit this guy, following this guy? He said, no. She said, okay. She made a room for him. She made it like a jail cell. And she locked him into it. She locked him with the keys into it. And then every day she said to the slaves, guard him. I don't want him to get out of this room. And feed him little food. She don't like to put a pressure on him. So she did that and he was locked. And then one day he was smart enough that he was able to escape the jail, the room. He was able to escape the room. He told the slave who's watching it, can you please do this? And then he went to do this. He was able to run out. Now when he ran out, his mother told him, okay, I'm not going to give you any money anymore. So now the guy who was living in, very, very high level of luxury, very obscene luxury, he was now very poor, you can imagine. His bright color of skin started becoming pale. Now he's not wearing silk dress anymore. He's wearing a dress made of the same thing that he used to rub your skin rubber. When you take a shower, you rub your skin with. So he was, his clothes were made of this kind of fabric, very cheap fabric, and it's very harsh on the skin. Like if you sleep on it, you wake up, it's burnt on your side. And now instead of sleeping on a comfortable bed, now he sleeps on the ground, and his pillow is a stone. And instead of eating a meal, they don't. He doesn't have food to eat. The bad guys used to not sell food to the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if they go to the market buying food, yeah, you, the follower of Muhammad, we don't sell. Get out. So he weren't able to either find a job or find something. So now he started eating like one meal every 3 days, something like that. He started becoming very poor. And he had batches. He wore this old clothes and it has batches all over it. So the companions looked at him one time and they saw that and they were about to cry. So the Prophet said, look at Mus'ab. He was living in obscene luxury, and he gave it up all for the sake of who?
Allah.
Allah. Such a good business, such a good trade. You're the winner of this trade, Mus'ab. So now the Prophet, so when he ran away, now it's the time for the believers to go to Habasha. Why did the Prophet ask the believers to migrate to Habasha?
Because they weren't getting enough food.
No, because they were tortured and he wanted it to get out of torture. So now he went with the Muslims to Habasha. And then he came back, okay, when Muslims came back to Mecca, left Habasha and came back to Mecca, he came with them. And then you know how Prophet Muhammad started meeting the people who are coming from Medina and convinced them about Islam. So they told him, send with us somebody that will teach us Islam. And this is where his title came from. His title came from the ambassador of the first ambassador in Islam. So who is the first ambassador in Islam? Mus'ab ibn Umayr. So when he went to Medina, the Prophet sent him to Medina to teach people Islam before the Prophet migrates to Medina. And he did a wonderful job that he made a lot of people Muslims before even the Prophet steps in Medina. All right? Okay. So his story teaches sacrifice and sacrifice, patience, and also the Prophet honored him by making him the first ambassador in Islam.
So yeah. What lesson is that?
That because of his wisdom, it takes a very wise person to quit luxury and to give up luxury for the sake of Allah. When he did that, the Prophet felt that he's so sincere and so wise that he sent him to Medina to bring people to Islam. Assalamu alaikum. You are dismissed. Inshallah, I see you next year.
Next year?
Next year.
Next year?
Like next school year.
Okay. I see you at the